Fred at School Show. Fred at School Show.
This is Fred Film Radio, and welcome to the first episode of Fred at School. Fred at School is this beautiful and illuminating project within the Creative Europe program, and with the objective of raising awareness about European films among young audiences, and of course to develop their own film literacy. Indeed, what's going to happen is that every month we're going to have one film shortlisted by the Lux Prize, and it will be shown through streaming, thanks to my movies, all around Europe in 8 different countries, and the students will actually analyze it, discuss it, and then produce radio clips. So we're going to have this sort of back-and-forth relationship between students and radio programmers, and also a flipped idea of a classroom, so the students actually take over, and they start being aware of what it means to be film literate. The first film that we're going to deal with for the very first episode is Illegal by Olivier Massey de Passe. And before we continue, let's just hear this classic way of introducing a film.
Fred at School.
Illegal. Illegal is the second feature film by Olivier Massey de Passe, a Belgian director born in Charleroi in 1971. The film is a co-production between Belgium, France and Luxembourg, with an overall budget of around 2.2 million euros. The production focused on the need to mirror the physical and human reality of the places and characters in the story to the utmost. Even if the temporary detention center for migrants, where most of the action takes place, was reconstructed in an abandoned industrial building. The film was presented at the Cannes Festival's Quinzaine des Réalisateurs in 2010, and the Belgians chose it as a candidate for the Oscars in the category of Best Foreign Film, although it didn't reach the top 5 shortlist. Before Illegal, Massey de Passe directed 2 short films, Chambre Froide in 2000 and Dans l'Ombre in 2004, both featuring decisive female characters who are determined to reach their objectives at all costs. Both films were great critical successes, bringing up 60 prizes and awards at various European and international festivals. Following this success, the Belgian director made his first feature film in 2006, entitled Cages, which is the story of a passionate but destructive love, and was invited to many international festivals, including Toronto and Rome. The film was met with a great critical acclaim in Belgium and created great excitement among the public. A direct link between Massey de Passe's previous films and Illegal is, once again, the centrality of a female character who must fight to defend her identity and emotions. What stands out most is the presence in all 4 films of the same leading actress, Anne Cousin, whom the Belgian director describes in the following way. She's a Stradivarius. With an instrument like that, you don't change a thing. If you play it, you never tire of it. I have shot all my films with her. I think I understand what rings true in a role, but with Anne, I can really go further. With her, more than with others, I truly become an actor's director. Our symbiosis is a very positive influence on my films, particularly on this one. Presenting the film, Massey de Passe explained how the idea came about to put an illegal immigrant at the center of the story. Many films have shown what people are ready to go through to stay here, in our country. One day, I discovered that I was living 15 kilometers from an administrative detention center for those who have been found without the documents required to live in our country. I wanted to find out more. So I was often in the field meeting illegal immigrants, but also immigration agents and the police. I decided not to make a documentary, but a work of fiction, because it allows a deeper exploration of the point of view of the various characters. I was trying to achieve something more universal. Moreover, I wanted to treat the subject like a psychological thriller. While writing the film, I often thought about Alan Parker's Midnight Express. Although I wanted the film to be realistic and based on in-depth research, everything that is seen in the film actually happened, at least once. After Illegal in 2015, Massey de Passe made the TV movie Le Sanctuaire, presented in January at the International Festival of Audiovisual Programming in Biarritz.
And we're back. We listened to a pretty conservative and yet very detailed clip to introduce the film. But now, you know, we've listened to all the material produced by the students, we just selected a few things and we can have this sort of pan-European little review.
Since the beginnings, the movie wants to represent the condition of the immigrants in Europe and how they're treated. The action follows Tanya, a Russian immigrant, and her little son, Ivan, a 13-year-old child.
Some of us feel that she was afraid to tell the authorities Kirill a name out of fear that she would have been forced to stay in the asylum.
The movie says that she is doing the right thing and the government are the bad guys. In real life, that illegal things, like the title says, it's illegal.
Like, leaves us thinking, like, it makes us think about what's happening, like, almost imagining, like, what their life would be like after the ending. Like, because they've left it like that, it makes us just like, what did they do?
So, thank you for listening, dear audience. We'll be back in our after next movie, like we said, in our language. Tak fyr okur.
So, tak fyr tak fyr okach. Well, I need to ask him. My Icelandic is definitely not up to date. But there was just a tiny fraction of the opinions that we had all throughout Europe. We could say probably briefly as well, like in Romania, overall, the students liked it. Italy, they liked it. Interesting discussions from the film. I mean, mixed views more or less, but for you know, roughly, they liked it too. And in Iceland, they were kind of, they said that it was really emotional, but at the same time, you know, watching it once is enough. they also gave some stars, which I thought was a great idea. 3.5 out of 5 for the Grunschkolina Almavik, sorry for my pronunciation. And in Croatia, they all liked the movie. It was really, really well received. So, we listened to that. We already know that the students have managed to watch it. I have managed to watch it. You know, this is the first episode. I have to introduce the big project because it sounds so big, but at the same time, it's happening and that's wonderful. That's something that Fred Radio wants to do, and he wants to make this project all inclusive. So all the films, in fact, will be made accessible to students with visual and or hearing impairments, thanks to subtitles for the deaf, audio description for the blind. That's very important. Accessibility has to be a crucial key in order also to develop film literacy all around the European countries. Before I talk too much about the project myself, I'm very thankful to have also Natasha Senjanovic with me, and she will in fact lead a few interviews with some of the partners and the people that actually made Fred's School happen as well. And in fact, we're going to hear Marisela Rossetti, which is the director and general communication programmer for Lux Prize. And then we're going to hear Benedict Prot, which is the French coordinator, as well as Odd Nissen, Nick Walker, respectively the Icelandic and UK coordinator. So, of course, you have to stick with us, and you're just going to be right back and dive into the real Fred at School project after a short break.
Fred at School Show.
And welcome back to the first Fred at School International Program. I'm talking to Marisela Rossetti, who is with the Lux Prize. Hi, Marisela.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about your position with Lux. You are with the Directorate General, and what the Lux Prize is to begin with.
Okay, the Lux Prize has been created in 2007, and the aim of the Lux Prize at the beginning was to promote European cinema and debates around the European films. Actually, the Lux Prize is awarded by the members of the European Parliament. We have a selection panel made by professionals from the cinema industries, film critics, artistic directors, film festival distributors, producers, and they are entitled to choose 10 films, and among the 10 films, 3 are competing for the Lux Prize. The 3 films are then screened inside the European Parliament, and the members of the European Parliament finally vote for one. And since 2010, we enlarge a little bit of the scope of the Lux Prize, because at the beginning, just the winning films was going to be subtitled in 24 languages, the 24 languages of the European Union, And since 2010, we created the Lux Film Days. The Lux Film Days consist in screening the three competing films in the 28 member states. So actually the three films are subtitled ex officio. There is not anymore the need of competing and winning for the films, for the Lux Prize. Actually, the three films are, since the very beginning, subtitled, and they travel all around Europe.
They're given visibility in all of the member states. So, of course, it was 24 to begin with, and then over the years, we're now at 28.
Yes, exactly.
How did you become involved with the Fred at School project? As we mentioned in the first segment with Federico Spoletti, the films that are being shown to these students in the eight different countries are all Lux Prize finalists. How did that relationship come about?
The relationship came about because, of course, Federico Spoletti is one of the professionals we involved in many of our debates in Venice, that is one of the film festival among our festival partners. So we organize a very nice project together with Europa Cinema and Venice Days. This project is called 28 Times a Cinema, and it consists in inviting one young cinephile from each member state for the entire duration of the Venice Film Festivals. Every day there's 28 youngsters meet with professionals and discuss about films, about distribution, about subtitling, about film education, and so on. And Federico has been involved this kind of project, 28 Times of Cinema, and suddenly we discovered that the films that we were going to screen within the Lux Film Prize were really appreciated by young people. And in that way, we had the idea that some of the previous films of the Lux Prize could fit in a Fred at School project.
Yeah, I can say that having worked with Venice Days many, many times, I have seen their enthusiasm firsthand. I haven't been able to meet the young people of the schools now from Fred at School, but well, from what we've heard of their reactions, they are just as enthusiastic. What is it that you expect these students to get from this? What would you like them to walk away with from Fred at School?
I'm very proud about the filmography that the Lux Prize has been able to spotlight in those last years. And unfortunately, some of the European films that were in our catalog have not been distributed and so watched enough. And I think that most of the films are really perfect to educate, to open the eyes to some European questions that are common to the entire Europe. And the problem is that sometimes the films are not screened, are not available. So I'm very, very happy that some films like Illegal, for instance, is now traveling into so many different schools and so many different countries, because a film like that on immigration issues that is shot in the heart of Europe, because the film is shot actually in Brussels, I think that could be very, very helpful also to understand that immigration, refugees, and the life of these people in each of our countries is common. And I'm very happy that young students could really have another approach to this issue that is normally treated by newspaper or by, I don't know, television, not always in a very emotional way. While the film, I think a film like Illegal is currently really moving and could create a very good reaction among youngsters.
And of course, we're talking about Illegal by Olivier Massetepas.
Yes.
Which premiered at the Director's Fortnight, which won the Director's Fortnight in 2010. And we can't mention the other films because they have to be a surprise for the students. But it was really interesting to listen to the reactions and to hear these students say that, yes, this is a subject that perhaps they hadn't thought about before, but actually does touch their own countries as well. Because, as we know, I mean, the subject of immigration right now in Europe is very much at the forefront of all the political debates and social debates as well.
Yes, exactly. And I think that, I mean, to approach young people with a movie like Legal, it's a really smart way to approach this problem.
What I really like about Fred at School is that this component of having them then produce work produce reviews, basically, for the radio, which gives them a great sense of responsibility towards cinema. It's not just reacting to it and saying whatever they want to say. They actually have to think about a public that's going to be listening to them, so they have to step it up a little bit. Do you think this component will really help them in their film literacy formation?
I think that to introduce a film at schools, it should be really a part of the curricula of the future education. So yes, indeed, I think that approaching a lot of societal issues by films and by cinema is something that we really needed to improve. Project like Fred at School, it's really smart because on the one side, it provokes a different kind of reaction also between the students and teacher. And I think that we should actually support much more also the European level this kind of project.
I agree. I think it's a shame that film still is not an integral part of school curricula, considering just how much it's how integral a part it is of our lives.
Exactly, and this is something that we would like, actually, also with the Lux Prize to improve. And this way, we were very happy that some of the films that we have been selecting in these past years, especially because the subject, the items that we were trying to choose. Are supposed to provoke reactions and emotion, and we're very happy that those kind of films are entering into schools thanks to projects like Fred at School.
Well, we are looking forward to continuing. I am looking forward to continuing these international programs and seeing how the children develop and what they have to say about the films, because they're surprising all of us, I think. And I would really like to thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
I have been talking to Marisela Rossetti, who is the responsible of the Lux Prize at the European Parliament. And you're listening to the Fred at School International Program, and we'll be right back after this break with Bénédicte Preux, the French coordinator of Fred at School.
Fred at School Show.
And we're back. I am talking to Bénédicte Preux, who is the French coordinator of Fred at School. Hi, Bénédicte.
Hi, Natasha.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the program. We are going to be discussing the reactions of the students to the first film in the Fred at School cycle, which is Illégal by Belgian director Olivier Masset-Despaf. And I wanted to start with you as the coordinator because I really appreciate what you said, that in your presentation, for the national program, the English summary of the national program, which all our listeners can hear at fred.fm in the podcast section. Mm-hmm. And, I like what you said, that whoever loves cinema loves to share cinema. Mm-hmm. But that, something more, that what Fred at School is doing is also, he has this clever use of modern technology to start a dialogue and to really give these students a voice by generating something, by generating so much enthusiasm, but without guiding them in terms of how they should be interpreting a film.
Absolutely. And using the tools that they know and they use every day, but making them learn to use them in a clever way, in a critical way, in order to develop that critical sense.
So what was it about the reactions that most excited you, that most surprised you, and that inspired you as well? Because it's always interesting, as film journalists, Bénédicte and I go way back, we used to work at Cine Europa together, and you're still working, we were both film journalists, we're both critics. And, we forget, often we live in a very insular bubble, we forget what, quote-unquote, normal people feel when they watch films, and especially children who are so often left out of the dialogue.
Yeah, and it's funny sometimes that they can come up with things that I wouldn't have thought about, like this little girl who said that the main character, Tanya, is like a child. This is something that I hadn't thought about. And sometimes it's nice, to hear something that, we like to think that we know how to spot the keys, how to read works, but sometimes something escapes us. And it's kind of nice to have this fresh approach. Plus, I love my selection of schools because I think that it offers a really good sample, it really covers broad horizons. And the two schools who could join us since the first film, because unfortunately it was during French holidays, so not everybody could be there, but those two schools were really different. There was like a girl school from Paris, rather posh establishment, where the students are used to participating in such programs. Sometimes the teacher says a bit spoiled. They maybe don't seize the chance with as much enthusiasm as the others, whilst the other class were boys who study mechanics. They actually spent most of their schedule of their week in body shop. So they actually were so, the teacher said that they were so happy to look at the photos of the other students and check out all the interfaces, the Twitter, the Instagram, and that they've been very excited about this program, and their reaction on the movie itself were also quite different.
What were some of their reactions?
Well, the girls obviously felt that they had learned about something, a reality that they didn't know well. Well, everybody did. But I think that the film had a documentary-like impact on them, while the boys, some of them are not completely unfamiliar with, they're from the suburbs, they're a bit more variegated, let's just say, and some of them felt quite close to the theme. So they had a different approach, and I think they were more affected by all the fictional tools, by all the work that the director does. They actually said the word, film is too aggressive. They really were affected by it in a deeper way, I think, than the, in a more physical way almost, than the girls.
That's very interesting. It's amazing, because when you think about what a lot of these young viewers watch are considered to be very aggressive films. Most, you know, they're action films. They can be sci-fi films. These thrillers that you would think are aggressive. They're just that they would use that word speaks volumes. No, about
absolutely. Some said like beyond limits or something. You know, once the first one said too aggressive, the others were, you know, started agreeing with him, like, this is beyond, this is way beyond, you know, in the vocabulary they have, but it speaks volumes. And I think, yes, I think that they were, the work that the director did on creating this atmosphere, which is super uncomfortable, that she's in limbo, and she's a character that you are led to empathize with, of course, but also it she's not necessarily a character you like, really. Because you don't know much about her. She's has no identity. She's a bit dehumanized. So you're led to empathize with her, of course, but still you don't feel like you like her too much. And I think that this torn situation, you know, inside, outside, the limbo, and this discomfort, I think this is discomfort is the good word, this discomfort that Olivier Massé de Passe creates impacted them quite a lot.
So what are the other two schools who will be joining now that vacation is over, now that the holidays are over?
The first, one school is watching it right now. I think it must be finishing it by now. And this is one of the new schools that is joining us. It's a school from Burgundy. It's a group of girls. I think they're 11. Yes, they're 11, and they're 15 and 16. So they're in the other age category, because we also have another school that is joining us, and those are more like 14-year-olds, and they are from the Paris suburbs as well. We actually have two classes from that college. So so we do, you know, we have one that is in the center of Paris. We have one that is a professional high school in the suburbs. We have some a bit younger kids also from the suburbs, and then we have this provincial city in Chalon-sur-Saône in Burgundy. So I like the range that we have here.
And it's you mentioned also in your introduction into the English part of the English national program that you did for Fred at School about the clever use of modern technology. And I hadn't really thought about, you know, I was obviously, it was the fact of giving them a radio voice, of having them then be young critics as well. You know, they have to present something in another medium. But I hadn't thought about, like, what you mentioned before. I hadn't thought about the Twitter, the Instagram, that they would be sharing with one another in a broader sense, not just within the classroom or with their specific teachers, but amongst each other.
In fact, the boys I was talking about earlier was really, really excited about this simultaneity of the events and the way that this simultaneous shared experience happens, thanks to all those platforms and modern tools and media.
It's wonderful. It's going to be wonderful to see how this develops. And it would be nice if we could do, you know, a Michael Apted version, just follow them every few years to see.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm hoping that this will represent an experience that they cherish. I'm really hoping that this triggers something in them. You know, I do believe that this program has something very endearing, full of a willingness to share and to listen and to be united by yes, enthusiasm and passion. And that's what's nice. It's something that is designed for schools, but it is a bit sexier than, you know, the way things are usually presented. It's not being taught. It's being infused. It's nice. I like the approach.
I like that word. It's being infused, and it's also, it's giving them, and they can react on an international scale to it. They're not just,
yeah,
not just,
it's like a contagion, but in the right
or
way.
An essay on, you know, the reaction. They're literally putting their voices out for all of Europe and the entire world to hear, whoever listens to our Fred at School programs.
Absolutely, absolutely. I really hope that listeners also not related to Fred at School will get to know it well, will enjoy comparing as well the reactions of all the different kids from all the different countries. I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to discovering all that throughout the program.
And from Fred at School in Europe, we'll have to try Fred at School across the globe. Just get everybody involved.
Well, yes. Well, let's be modest. We are 8. We're still working from the Lux Prize selection. So, you know, if it were open to the world, then I guess we'd have to open the pool. I like Europe. I like this. That this is also making Europe happen. So, let's do it. You're in the European scale right now. I don't know. I mean, I find it exciting. It should be worldwide eventually. But I like the European scale. Let's work on that. I think that's a great way to make Europe happen.
No, it is. I agree. And it's also, it gives the students an intimate, I think, sense of connection with one another, because they are and they are not united within Europe. They are a part of something bigger than them, but they may not, especially at the ages of 14, 15, 16, have very much crossover with other countries, with their peers in other countries.
Yeah, for us it seems obvious now. I mean, you know, whoever, you know, we do that kind of job where we communicate in Italian and English and everything. So I've been European for a long time and not French only. We don't realize how, we think it's obvious, you know, because on the internet you'd think everybody feels connected to the other countries. It's not the case. Those are still kids. Their English is still weak, or at least they're learning. So we are opening a door. We are opening that door that has been opened to us for some time now.
Well, I think we can end on that note. I thank you again, Benedict. Thank you for the coordination work that you did and the presentation, and really, and your take on it. I agree very much with you, and I think that this is a project that's going to spark so much enthusiasm, going to continue as the cycle continues to spark enthusiasm among all of these students.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on your show, Natasha.
Thank you. I was talking to Bénédicte Preau. She is a journalist with CineEuropa.org and is the French coordinator of Fred at School. And you can listen to her program at fred.fm and to our podcast. And we'll be right back. We're going to talk to the next coordinator of Fred at School. And please stay tuned.
Fred at School show.
And we are back. I am talking to Oddný Sen, the Icelandic coordinator of Fred at School. Hello, Oddný.
Hello, Natasha.
Welcome to the show. And I first, just by way of introduction, you are a project manager for film education, film literacy, and culture at BioParadís. You have been since 2010, and this project involves all schools in Iceland. So you are very much an expert on the subject, as well as our coordinator.
Thank you. Yeah, well, yes, I try.
So tell us how you got involved with Fred at School.
Well, as I teach film literacy at BioParadís and teach it in school and in other institutions, I was approached by others who wanted to work on it and with me. And I thought it was a wonderful opportunity, so I said yes, I absolutely wanted to be in.
And tell us a little bit about, how does this project differ from what you've been doing since 2010 in schools across Iceland?
Well, for the first part, what I do usually is that the schools come to me at Bioparadis. Mm-hmm. So we have shows and we have discussions, and I tell them about the film and I prepare material, and then they need to do essays and write about it and discuss it afterwards. But so it's not that much, there is maybe not that much difference in itself, but Fred at School gives schools in rural areas in Iceland a fabulous opportunity through the WOD platform and the internet. And these schools, unfortunately, have not been able to come to me all the time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or very, very rarely.
And do you find that the students' level of engagement, the first film that they've seen in the cycle, as we know, is Illegal by Belgian director Olivier Masset-Depas, and it is an immigration drama about a mother who has been taken to a deportation center and separated from her son. Do you find that there is a greater level of involvement since they can also use other forms of technology, like recording their voices and knowing that this is going to be broadcast on an international platform?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I also found noteworthy when I was listening to what the kids have to say about the film, is that because the immigration culture in Iceland is not... it's growing, but it's relatively new, mm-hmm. and the kids were really blown away by, you know, the film Illegal, and because of its content and because of its sort of subject matter,
mm-hmm.
and there are no sort of deportation centers in Iceland, and they were asked, you know, do you think that this could happen here in Iceland? And they thought it was very unlikely, but they made them look at the world of immigrants with a completely new outlook, and I find that extraordinary and good.
Can you tell us, just in some detail, some of their reactions? If you can share with us what you found to be the strongest emotional reactions that they had, apart from, you know, that they don't feel like it's something that could happen in Iceland. What other reactions did they have to the film?
They were very sort of... they felt really sad about the situation, about the woman who takes her own life.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt really bad. Sort of, it was emotionally very challenging for them, and also because that she has to eliminate her fingerprints because mm-hmm. she mm-hmm. cannot let anybody know who she is. They found right. that sort of really sort of challenging, emotional. And felt very strongly, you know, about that, and they felt deep sympathy with the characters.
Do you feel that this has inspired you to change some of your programs for your film literacy programs that you'll be conducting in the future?
Yes, I believe so, and I think I will. Yes, I will definitely use the theme of immigrants more. Because I think mm-hmm. that's really something that will make them interested, and it's sort of worth exploring more.
What are some of the themes of the films that you've chosen, or some of the titles of the films that you have shown the children before Fred at School and any other projects you've been working on?
Ooh, that is a lot.
just a few. Do they also have social and political themes? Do they tend to be more emotional dramas? What kinds of films are they?
Well, I showed Life of Pi recently by mm-hmm. Ang Lee,
mm-hmm.
and we've been doing Grand Budapest Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Amélie, Le Fabuleux Destin d'Amélie Poulain.
Mm-hmm.
Citizen Kane, some Icelandic Danish drama by the films of Susan Beer. Yeah, like the In a Better World.
Yeah, sure.
And then Swedish, a very good Swedish film about alcoholics, alcoholic families, called Svinalangorna. I don't know the title in English, unfortunately. Yeah, I tried to have us sort of as much films to choose from, you know, as possible.
And is the approach similar in the sense that they are allowed to, there are no filters really, that what their interpretation of the film is not guided, it's a direct response.
It is guided, yes, it is guided, because I write about the films, or it's something that has been written about the films, and if it's not in Icelandic, I translate it, so they need to, the teachers need to prepare the students before the viewing of the film. And then I meet them, I give a speech or sort of lecture before, and then afterwards we discuss it together. And I also teach, and before each viewing I show them clips, you know, from the film and how, so how some kind of the imagery was developed, you know, the, you know, ideas from the film director, how he works, and sort of they sort of have to learn about all the aspects of cinematography and also the history of cinema. So they see these educational clips beforehand, and then afterwards they need to write about the film. And sort of they have to be able to discuss why they like it, what was happening, what, you know, and possibly related to other films, you know, in the program.
Do you, so all the students that in the four schools that Fred at School is, that are involved in the Fred at School project, you have worked with before, correct?
They're not all of them, no. There are some schools that are in the rural areas that have not been able to come to me.
And is there a difference then in the reactions from the students who you've worked with previously and who have some kind of a film background, let's say a critical way of looking at it, and the new schools that you haven't worked with before? Do you find that there's a difference in their reactions?
Yes, I do. I do, because and also before I started the courses in Bioparadies, and the first 2 years were extremely difficult because the students had never learned about films and they had no idea, you know, they didn't know. So they had no tools to study film. So it's a totally different approach. They are more critical. The students that I've worked with have a more sort of critical approach, and they are more used to be able to have discussions afterwards.
And by critical, you mean their inability really to look at all aspects of the film, or critical even in their emotional response to the film?
I think both. I think a mixture of both.
Well, it will be interesting to follow their progress as the project continues, because I think it's fascinating to hear so many of their reactions. And I thank you so much for talking to us.
Well, thank you. And this is it's a really an enthusiastic and a passionate project.
Well, we're happy to be doing this, and I for one, I've become very much intrigued. I love listening to, as a film journalist and as a critic, I love listening to these children's responses, because they often do say things that would never come to my mind, that I would never think, regardless of how, you know, quote unquote, of an expert we may be. It's wonderful to see their responses to this, and we will definitely talk with you later on in the cycle and catch up and see how the students are doing.
Great. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much. I've been talking to Odni Sen, who is the project manager for film education, film literacy, and culture at Bioparadies since 2010, which is a project that involves all schools in Iceland. And you are listening to Fred Film Radio, the Fred at School program. We will be right back.
Fred at School Show.
And we're back. This is, this is the last bit of the first episode of Fred at School. Do not fear, there's going to be three other beautiful international shows. And with three different films. I have to thank so much Natasha Sanjanovic for leading those beautiful and insightful interviews. Of course, I have to thank the guests of this first episode, so Marisela Rossetti, Odni Sen, Benedict Procht, and Nick Walker. There'll be plenty of other times as well for them to intervene for every single film. We're going to try and create also a sort of interactive roundtable during the actual show, so stay tuned for the next time. But also it's time to thank everybody that actually is making this project happen. And as I said, of course, Creative Europe program, ourselves, which is Fred Film Radio, of course, and the official partners. Without them, we couldn't do this at all. And it's the University Autónoma de Barcelona, the University of Roehampton, Universitas Napocensis, IH Torino, Cinema del Real, and Tufra Lampin AHF, Subti, mymovies.it, and Venice Days, Claudio Tomasini Associates, Subti Access, and Festival de Cannes, careful with the spelling, C-A-N-S, and of course, the Croatian HRT. Let's not forget, of course, our other sponsors, which is the beautiful and fantastic Sardinia and Sardinia Film Commission. And, well, I have to thank the students, because without them, this will not even happen. And of course, the schools that they're from and the countries they're from. And I actually haven't listed them yet, but I can just do it on the top of my head. And here we go. I am going to thank the United Kingdom, Romania, Italy, Spain, France, Germany, Iceland, and Croatia. So I cannot wait for the next episode, and of course the next discussions with the second film. But for anything else, if I forgot something, of course I forgot something, you can find everything on www.fred.fm, and you can listen to the national shows for each country, and also of course this will be podcasted as well, or the international show. And for any other information for Fred at School, if you want to get involved, please do. We're always here, and we're going to wait for you for the next episode of Fred at School here at Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.